Nice to see our young people coming along with their talents that God's given to them. Let's turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, well, text is starting at verse 18 through 26, a familiar portion of the book of Lamentations, I trust. We have a hymn that comes from this passage. I chose not to put it in there this morning, but we do have a hymn that we sing based on the verses here in a moment. But Lamentations chapter 3, verses 18 through 26, Jeremiah is noting, "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time that we have now to open up your word. And Father, to open up our hearts, our minds, so that you may take your word and drive it deep into our hearts and lives as believers, to change us, to mold us and shape us into the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, at times that can be rough as you seek to take off the edges, the roughness that is in our lives, to bring us into that fine look of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we are willing to see those changes take place, to remove as the refiner does, the dross off, that we may be the finer for you. That refining process requires heat. And we thank you for your working, the refiner's fire, the sculptor's hammer and chisel, as you work away, getting rid of the dross, getting rid of the things that do not show forth the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for that work, even in the midst of the difficulties. We thank you. We pray for that soul that is lost here. May they come to know you this morning. May they not leave this place till they have their eternity secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your working. We thank you, as we have prayed already, your word will not return void unto you. It will go out and accomplish that which you please. We know that it will. And so, Father, may we be accepting of that, your working with your word in our hearts. May we go forth strengthened and encouraged, Father, showing brightly to the lost and dying world around us the Lord Jesus Christ who lives within. Well, thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and he in this book, it is his lamentation. He laments. As you, I trust, are familiar with Jeremiah, he is a prophet in the day when Judah is on the cusp of being removed from the land and taken to Babylon. God's judgment has finally arrived. He's told them for quite some time, since the ministry, the kingship of Manasseh, when God said, "Judah, you're going into captivity. I've had enough of your sin, your rebellion. Like your older sister, Israel, you're going into captivity." And God, in his mercy and grace, is still at work, and it's many years before that happens. And now we have Jeremiah weeping as he proclaims the message of the Lord to the Israelites, who stand there unfazed. who do not respond to the message and end up being taken into captivity. And so Jeremiah writes this under the inspiration of God as of his lamentation. He is saddened by what he sees amongst his people, knowing that they're going to be taken into captivity and or are taken, depending on where you are reading in the book of Jeremiah, because some of it is before and some of it is after. But he laments those days. You know, too oftentimes we excuse ourselves from the calamities that we see going on around us, and we put a bubble around us and think, we're not involved in this. I'm a child of God. I'm seeking to live for Him. I'm doing what God's called me to do. Yes. And so I'm immune from this. It doesn't affect me. And yet I find so often in the Old Testament, be it Jeremiah, be it Nehemiah, be it Daniel, be it Ezra, that these godly men who lived in these rebellious days, when they prayed, brought themselves into the mix. You look at Nehemiah 9, Daniel 9, Ezra 9. As these men pray for their people, it's just that, their people. And so they use the plural pronoun, we have sinned. We've done wrong. They don't say they did wrong, but we. They understand that it's corporate. Were Daniel and Nehemiah and Ezra sinners in rebellion against God? No, they weren't. Was Jeremiah in rebellion against God? No, he wasn't. But he understood, it's my people. It's Israel. And we're at fault. And I trust that we enter in that same way within our own nation. It is our nation. And may we lament. The Israelites had wandered away. Yet in the midst of all the spiritual decay, the prophet makes his glorious assertion that God's faithfulness is great. I appreciate that here in the midst of this lamenting. Jeremiah has this to say. And so may we look at this and see truly how great is God's faithfulness. The Lord is faithful in all conditions, as we see in verses 18 through 21. Again, Jeremiah lamented over the downfall of his people. The chastening of God was upon them. He knows that they're going into captivity, or again, have gone into captivity because of their rebellion against their God. They've not listened to Him. I'm sure for some within Israel, they were wondering. Because as you read the book of Jeremiah, you find Jeremiah, the prophet of the Lord, making statements that seem treasonous as he tells them, go out to the Babylonians and you'll be safe. Whereas there are other prophets of the Lord, and you see that same word being used, Jehovah, who are saying, no, no, stand up against Babylon, they're our enemies. Which voice do they listen to? They're both, quote unquote, prophets of the Lord. But their messages are so different. Which one do we follow? These prophets, plural, or this prophet? These sound good because we're Israelites. God gave us this land. He promised it to our forefathers. We're here. Why would we give it up? Why would we go with the heathen Babylonians? And yet Jeremiah is saying, do that. So he spares our life. And so they're caught in one sense. How do we discern the word of the Lord? By looking at the word. But we see these things going on, and Jeremiah, I dare say, is frustrated. Because yes, he is the prophet of the Lord. These others are false prophets in the name of the Lord. But we see in the midst of all of this, God's faithful. We can look at the world around us, our own nation, and I trust lament. Are there mixed messages out there? Yes. There are some pulpits like ours that proclaim the truth of God's word and say certain things are sin. It's wrong. And yet there are other pulpits in this land that say, oh, no, 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 no. That's not sin. Homosexuality is not sin. Gay marriage is not sin. It's quite all right. Who's telling the truth? Who's proclaiming God's word? Well, how do we know? We look in God's word. Amen. What does the book say? Well, the book does say that that is sin. We find it in the book of Leviticus. We find it in the book of Romans. In the book of Corinthians. Corinthians, Paul says, and such were some of you, but you've been washed. You've been saved. God's given you a new life in Christ, and that sin is no longer a part of your life. So they are redeemable. And so we do stand at times bewildered. We've got these voices saying all these different things, and they can't both be right. And sadly, too many people just give up. So you know what? I want nothing to do with this. And we miss the opportunity of redemption. And I say, God, have mercy on us. Doesn't mean that I won't stop proclaiming the word of God, but we need to continue to proclaiming the word of God, trusting that God will be at work in their hearts. If you turn back to Lamentations chapter 1, in all the midst of this, no one seemed to care. Notice what he says. He says, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Jeremiah is noting, nobody cared. Is it nothing to you who pass by? Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, standing forth for the word of God, weeping over his nation, and nobody cared. There he is in the public square proclaiming the word of God, weeping over them. And people just pass by, paying him no mind. Oh, he's that weeping guy again. Oh, well. Do we see that in our day? People hardened by their sin? seemingly immune to the working of God in their hearts. May we not give up on them, because we don't know what God's doing in the heart. We can look generally over this world, this nation, and say, it's going to hell in a hat basket. And yet, God can be at work. I think at this time with Jeremiah, stop to realize there are four young men who are about to be taken into captivity by the name of Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, whom God will greatly use in the coming years. We can look around us and see the devastation, the problems, and forget that God can and still is at work and can do great and mighty things. At this same time with Jeremiah here, noting these things that are going on, Habakkuk is a bit of a contemporary of his. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, he says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Jeremiah would have known of Habakkuk. I believe Habakkuk has already written his prophecies to the Israelites by the time Jeremiah is writing Lamentations. And I dare say he knew these words. In wrath, remember mercy. Yes, God is judging Israel. And yet there is that mercy still there. One, these prophets are proclaiming the word of God to them. God didn't have to send the prophets to them. And yet he did. The Lord is faithful in mercy and compassion, as we see, as he sees that God is faithful in all these conditions. God is still here. And so he notes, this I recall to my mind, therefore I hope. Yes, I remember these things, the devastation here, but I also see that God is at work. Howbeit, maybe in a much smaller framework, but God's at work. Oh, it's not a nationwide revival like they saw in the days of Josiah, but God is at work. And he remembers as he is here, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have I hope. What does he recall to mind? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. We're not all dead. Why? Because were they justly deserving death? Yes. For the wages of sin is death. But he puts that nice three-letter word there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jeremiah is remembering it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. He rightfully understood. Did the Israelites rightfully need to be consumed? Yes. They broke God's law. They had rebelled against him. They were off worshiping things that weren't God. turning their back on him. They were worthy of death. And yet here they are walking about. Why? Jeremiah rightfully understood. It is of the Lord's mercy. As Habakkuk noted, in wrath, remember mercy, Lord. And Jeremiah notes, God is being merciful to us. Yes, his judgment is falling. Yes, the Babylonians have ransacked this place, taken people off into captivity. But he is merciful to us, even in the midst of this. Because his compassions fail not. Is not God still merciful to us in our day? I mean, again, we look at the world around us. Is it deserving of God's wrath, his judgment? Yes. And as we study the book of Revelation on Wednesday night, we see how it's going to play out. And even then, he has his mercy. He has his compassion. Compassion, a word of comfort. The English definition of compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Compassion is an action word, much as we saw this morning concerning faith. God has compassion, and they fail not. Again, we can see the problems, and we can lament it. And too oftentimes, we don't see the trees for the forest. We see the problems, and we never see that here, 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 God's at work. God's changing lives. The lost are coming to Christ. Believers are standing for him, living for him. And Jeremiah is being reminded of this. I recall these things in mind. Yes, this is bad. But in the midst of all that, God's brought these things back to my mind. He is merciful. His compassions fail not. He meets us with our sins and our sorrows. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Paul noted, he said, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Too oftentimes, we think and others think that this wickedness is just too bad. God can't work in this situation. We may not say that, but we tend to think that. Oh, man, it's just too bad. Are we limiting our God? God can do anything. He does the impossible. We see that exemplified for us over and over in the scriptures. In the early days of the church, those 12 apostles, having brought in Mattathias, I dare say if we had questioned them prior to Acts 9, and said to them, "Do you think there's any possibility that Saul of Tarsus could become one of us?" Something tells me those 12 would have said, "Not on your life. Man, he's persecuting us. He's casting us, he's grabbing us, he's getting us off the streets, he's putting our friends and family members in prison because we dare stand for Christ." No! That's not going to happen. And yet it does. And you say, "Well, Pastor, how can you say that about them?" Well, notice what happens after he does get saved. And he comes back to Jerusalem. Does the Jerusalem church open their doors and say, "Come on in, Saul, a brother in Christ"? No, they don't. He knows Christ as his Savior? Yeah. There's something fishy about this. I think he's trying to infiltrate. No. He's not coming through our doors. But Barnabas, the son of consolation, sticks his neck out and gets to know Saul and realizes that, yes, there's been, again, that hymn that we thought of this morning, a wonderful change in his life has been wrought because he met Christ on the road to Damascus. And that hardened sinner is a redeemed sinner, a fireball for the Lord. And Barnabas brings him in, and they realize that, yes, he's different. He's not that maniac that was hauling us off to prison. He's one of us. He's a brother in Christ. God can be at work in those places that we seem to be hopeless because he demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves everyone, the hardened and those that are still soft and open to receiving the Word of God. Because God is the one that deals in the heart. He continues, "The Lord is faithful to all who place confidence in Him." Verses 24 through 26. It says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." It's not changing the situation around him, but he's noting, "The Lord is my portion. Yes, I'm in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation. They're not my portion. God is. He's the one I live for. He's the one I serve. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." He brings that word back again that we saw in verse 18. "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." He's bringing it back. He is my hope. I realize these things are going on. He has mercy. He has compassion. Therefore, I do have hope in Him. Jeremiah is redirecting his view from off the world around him to his God. He's getting his focus right again. Sometimes we get our focus off because we look at this and we see the seeming hopelessness. And we forget that God's still on the throne. He's still the same God that saved me. He's the same God that is keeping me. I still have hope in Him. My confidence is still in Him. It's not in this. It's not even in my service for Him. It's in Him and Him alone. And so He brings this out. My hope is there. He is my portion. Therefore, I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Is the Lord good to you? How often do we acknowledge that to ourselves and to Him? He reminds us in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do we thank Him for what He is doing? Or do you just complain about the wickedness of the world? Our focus needs to be on Him. I will hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. Do we like waiting? I see the heads. You know. Yet the psalmist reminds us, wait, I say, on the Lord. And he notes it twice. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Yeah, we don't like waiting. We do want to see God at work. Yes, God, you know, we're sometimes like James and John, when the village doesn't do what they wanted them to do because Jesus went on His way. Can we call fire down from heaven and consume them? A little anxious for God's judgment. We like to be that way sometimes instead of waiting on the Lord. To the soul that seeketh Him. That's our part, looking to Him, searching His Word, following Him. Again, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keeping Him as our focus. Because as we do, notice what he says as he concludes here. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. God will deliver. Yes, I believe we could look at this as salvation as we think of salvation, but I dare say it's more the general of God's deliverance. God will deliver us. We're His. Yes, we live in the midst of a perverse and crooked nation, but God will deliver us. He's watching over us now. He's taking care of us because we're His children. And one day He will call for us. Whether it be by death or whether it be by a shout and a trumpet sound. But He will deliver us. Because He's God. I don't know that Jeremiah is to the point where he's about to give up. There's no indication of that, but he's very much down by what he sees. But he takes hope. A confident expectation. God is my God. He is the one I need to rest in, to trust, because His compassions and mercies fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's our God. And so Jeremiah, in the midst of this lamentation, has this window of joy, if you will. Because again, he's brought his focus onto his God. Realizing who he is and really what he is doing. and rejoicing in that, even in the midst of the wickedness. May we understand that in our day. God is still at work. He hasn't given up. He will never give up on us. Peter reminds us, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's always been that way. He always will. Even when he hands out judgment, as we have seen in the book of Revelation, the opportunity for salvation is always there. Always. As Isaiah notes, his hand is stretched out still, even in the midst of judgment. Because his compassions fail not. His mercies are not consumed. Or we're not consumed because his mercy is still there. And so may we take comfort in that. Are we deserving of all of this? No. We're not deserving of his mercy, but he gives it. He's also gracious to us because he's God. May we not lose that focus as we live for him. May we trust him, serve him, follow him. Yes, in the midst of the darkness, he will light our path. We will see the way that we should go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for this bright spot, as it were, in this soulful lamentation of Jeremiah as he weeps over his people. He sees their sin, their wickedness, their rebellion. He sees God's judgment falling upon them as the Babylonians destroy. And yet, in the midst of that, he is reminded of your mercy, your compassion. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Father, may we take to heart that same thing. For we too live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. May we realize that your mercies are still there, your compassions are there. They're new every morning. You are still faithfulness, and your faithfulness is great. You still watch over us. You still care for your children. You still care for us. Father, help us to keep our eyes on you. It's not that we neglect the world around us, for our faith in you drives us to be a witness for you, to show forth the Lord Jesus Christ to this wicked and perverse nation. Because he is the means of their redemption, their salvation. So may we renew ourselves this morning as Jeremiah did, drawing our hearts and minds back to you. You're our God. You're our all in all. So, Father, may we live for you as you would have us to live, serving you, loving you, encouraging our fellow believers to do the same. We lift you on high. We praise you. And thank you for who you are and what you are doing. Father, if we have gotten a little cold, a little indifferent, we've lost sight of you because of the world around us, and you've gotten our attention again, may we seek your forgiveness and ask for your grace and strength. You will provide. You will help us to realign ourselves with you and your word. So may we get things right with you. You are faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins, to cleanse us. And we praise you for that. Do that work now in our hearts, we pray. And may we respond to it positively, seeking you out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.